We pray. I'm going to ask Brother Russell to pray about the service here in a moment. I know Brother Phillip's here with us this morning. I know his knee's really giving him trouble. Now, let me tell you something. Maybe nobody else in this church can understand, but you're looking at a fellow that can. I weigh a lot more than Phillip, and having to put bare weight on that thing, and I had that gout and cartilage and all messed up in there. I stayed in probably the most horrible pain I've ever been in, so I empathize with you, and I'm not tough like Philip. I ain't had to endure kidney stones all my life, so that stuff is bad. So y'all pray for Brother Philip this morning as he's hurting and going through that. We've had a lot of people in this church hurting and suffering. Now, we've been praying and men meeting on Saturday night praying that God would give us compassion. And sometimes we hurt so we get compassion for others, and sometimes others hurt so we can get compassion for them. I want to be known, and I say this, I'm getting in the message. We got plenty of time. I'm not preaching long, but don't worry. We're going to stand for the truth, and I'm going to preach hard, and I want to be known as a church that tells it like it is. I want to be known as a church that's not like these other. We're not Joel Osteen around here, all right? Well, my goodness, man, we're going to have some love and compassion and mercy and grace. That's what God's all about, and I want us to have it too. You understand? So let's do remember that. Just want to read one verse this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 23, verse number 33. If you've paid attention to the songs that were sang by the congregation, to the choir special this morning, then you have got a good idea of what we're going to preach on. Luke 23, verse number 33. Just call your attention to one verse, then we'll get with it. Luke chapter 23. And verse number 33. And the Bible says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified them, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. With God's help, I want to preach this message this morning, the place called Calvary. Brother Russell.
Dear Heavenly Father, just want to come to you, dear Lord. Just want to thank you for the day you've given us.
Yes.
Lord,
yes, Lord.
Lord, I would just come to you now. We just pray to be with Brother Dennis. Pray that you lift him up, dear
yes.
Lord. Pray that you hide him behind Calvary's cross, dear Lord. And I pray that you preach exactly what you wanted to preach, dear Lord. And I pray that you give him the power and the authority, dear Lord. And I pray that you be with the people, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
I pray that you just open up their ears,
yes,
open
Lord.
Up their hearts, dear Lord, to the message. And I pray, Heavenly Father, when we literally leave here, dear Lord, we
yes.
be a little closer to you, dear Lord. Not head knowledge, but
yes.
heart knowledge, dear Lord. And pray that you be with us now.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. Now I want you to notice that the text that we just read tells us the name of the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. The name of that place is Calvary. Calvary is a hill about a half a mile outside of Jerusalem. This passage, matter of fact, is the only time in the Bible that the word is used. The only time you'll see the word Calvary show up in your Bible is right here. It comes from a Latin word that means a skull. A matter of fact, Mark 15:22 and John 19:17 names that same place Golgotha. That's a Hebrew meaning that means a skull or place of the skull. I've had some folks look on that hill there and say that I've read before where it looks like a skull up there when you look at it sometimes. I don't know exactly if that's it or why they named it that, but they did. Anyway, today is the Sunday before Easter Sunday. I like to refer to it as Resurrection Sunday, okay? This time of the year is a really important time of the year for me, and I know that we as God's children, we don't have to choose one day over another, but I understand that. But this time of the year is really important because this time of the year is the time of the year we get to thinking about Calvary. We get to thinking about Jesus Christ and what he did for us, how he shed his blood so we could go to heaven when we die. And then next Sunday, we'll have our biggest Sunday of the year when the most people come and some of the annual people show up, you know, and the one time a year crowd. We always have the communion together. It's a special time in the life of the church. But I want us to focus on today about Calvary. And I want to bring a message on the sacrificial death of Christ. It's at that place called Calvary some 2,000 years ago, Our Lord shed his precious blood so that you and I could be saved. Amen. So when I look at Calvary, I'm compelled that I ought to preach about Calvary. Amen. Ought to preach about it. And I just want to use an acrostic for the word Calvary. You say, what do you want to say about Calvary? Well, I want to take that word Calvary, and I want to use it as an acrostic this morning, and take every letter in that word and have a word there. And to me, it explains the significance of Calvary. What took place and how it affects all mankind. Everybody look up here at me. There's a lot of things going on in this world, on the other side of the world, that does not affect you. Matter of fact, most things going on outside of Loango don't affect me. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something that happened 2,000 years ago across the globe that affects all mankind. It's when the Savior went to Calvary. So we're going to look at that and get reminded of that. All right, the first letter is C. What do you think that word ought to be? Well, that's good, but we're going to be talking about Christ, but it's going to be what he did. The cross. The cross. You might not know this, and maybe you do. You know that the word, the cross, is a New Testament word. That word doesn't show up anywhere in the Old Testament, just as a New Testament word, which I think's a, not by coincidence. That's, that's what happened when Jesus Christ dies for us, and we're not under the law no more, not in the Old Testament. He sheds his blood. It was what our Savior was crucified on. If you've done any study about the cross at all, you know it was a great instrument of cruelty used by the Romans. Many times the folks would die from the scourging and the beating before they made it to the cross. We've talked about that here in years past, about the things that they would do to the people going to the cross, the cat of nine tails, an instrument designed to wrap around somebody so they pull that thing back, it'd rip flesh and everything off. That's what Christ went through before he ever went to the cross. And I've looked at a medical piece written by a medical doctor as he examined the crucifixion and what Christ would have went through. The dehydration that set in. And the sun baking him and parching him. And the fact that he can't get any breath, have to stand up on his feet to get a breath. But you can't do that because you got a nail in your feet and it's hurting. And where the nails are putting his hand in him. And just to suffer in an hour after hour after hour, our Lord was up there for 6 hours. I don't think we think about it sometimes. We just walk around sometimes and go, yeah, the cross, yeah, Jesus died on the cross. What a wonderful thing. Walk out the door and forget about it. We don't realize the suffering that took place. We don't realize the bloodshed that he could see his wounds open, man. When I think about the cross, I think about two words. It was a curse and it was a cure. The cross was a curse and it was a cure. The Bible says in Galatians 3:13 that Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Listen to this, church. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. When Jesus Christ went to that cross, we ought to have been on that cross, and he took that curse. He became a curse for us, the Bible says, when he bore the sins of the world on him. You know whose sins that is? That's mine. That's yours. That's the sins of the world. He became a curse for us. I'm talking about a man never done anything wrong. It'd be hard enough if I had to pay for your wickedness, but I'm a wicked man. Why should an innocent man pay for everybody else's wickedness? But he did. He paid for yours. He did it for you. Everybody in here, he did it for you. But thank God the cross was not just a curse, it was a cure. Ephesians 2:16 says, "And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." It's by the cross. You and I are reconciled to God. Colossians 2:14, listen to this. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. Listen to this, boys, this is good. And took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, the Bible says. You know what he nailed to that cross? All that junk that was going to keep me out of heaven. All the sin and the wickedness. Jesus Christ bore it on the cross. It was a curse that he had to endure, but it was my cure. Amen. It was my spiritual penicillin. I'm telling you what, I had no... Look at this preacher. You think I'm going to go to heaven because I preach? Preacher's full of... hell's full of preachers. Billy Sunday said one time that the hell's going to be so full of preachers, they're going to have windows with it open with the feet sticking out of it. You don't get to heaven for being a preacher. Some of the most crooked, want to steal your wife and steal your money people I ever met are preachers.
Amen.
Amen, that's right. You watch enough TV, you know that. Listen, I'm going to heaven because I was a rotten, wicked, no good for nothing sinner on my way to hell, and I received the payment that Jesus Christ made for me with His precious blood on the cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago. And brother, if you're going to heaven when you die, that's exactly the way you're going. Amen. It was a cure. Number two, the next letter is A, and I think of the word atonement. Atonement. What is atonement? What does it mean to atone for something? It's reconciliation, to restore to harmony. When you reconcile something, that means there's two parties at odds with each other. The cross brought those two parties together. You see, I can't get to God on my own. You got God here and me here. Man, I'm in trouble. But Jesus Christ, through His atoning death on the cross, made that way where we could get together. It's forever settled. Thank God. And not only so, but the Bible says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. It restored us back to harmony. It's a satisfaction God needs. It makes amends. It's to pay the penalty for our sins. Any of you ever studied about the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament? You ought to study that sometime. In your Bible, in the Old Testament, go to Leviticus chapter 17. Leviticus chapter 17 deals with the Day of Atonement. Now, if you've never read that or don't understand that, I'll briefly describe to you, not go into great detail, but briefly describe to you the Day of Atonement. But you ought to go back and read it sometime. It happened the 10th day of the 7th month of the Jewish year. One time, it came one time a year. That's the only time it would come. And when that happened, the high priest went into the holy place and made sacrifice for the whole nation. The Bible says that he had to dress in holy garments. Two goats were brought out for sin offering. One was sacrificed to the Lord, and one was let go into the wilderness after Aaron laid his hands on them and confessed the sins of the people. He sent that goat out. That's called the scapegoat. That was the goat that bore the sins of the people. This was done every year because the Bible says that the blood of goats and bulls cannot take away sin. That high priest had to go in there every year and make sacrifice for him and his family and for the nation and for the people. And if he come in there outside of once a year, and if he didn't come in there right with the holy garments on and doing it like what God wanted him to do, God killed that high priest graveyard dead. He was serious about approaching this holy place. Thank God, Jesus, our high priest, went to the cross. Amen, brother. This is good stuff. Somebody ought to shout. He made one atoning death. He was the Lamb of God. And He is able to take away the sins of the world. And there's no more sacrifice over. Listen, there's only one sacrifice. Christ died once. He'll never die again. And brother, if you get saved, you'll only get saved once. You'll never have to get saved again. That Bible says, be born again, not again and again and again. It's the atoning death of Christ. Christ died once. That's all it takes. And if you'll trust Him one time, that's all it takes to get you to heaven.
Amen.
You see, 1 Timothy 2:5 sums this, what I'm trying to say, up very good. It says there's one mediator. Listen, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know what you have when you have a fuss or you have a problem? You got to have a mediator, arbitrator. I mean, you got one fellow over here upset with you and one fellow over here, and God's over here. He ain't going to fool with us.
Yeah.
Listen, you understand? He ain't going to fool with us.
Right.
All He's going to do is send you to hell.
Right.
But He said, I tell you what, there is a way you can reconcile things with me through my son, not the Pope,
right,
not the Baptist Church, bless God, not Mary,
right,
but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's it. And He said, if you'll make it right with my son, then me and you'll be right.
Yeah.
That's atonement. Number three, I think of the letter L. You know what that is? Love. You know, people talk a lot about love. And listen, I'm not suggesting you shouldn't tell your wife you love her. I tell my wife and my son all the time, every day, I love them, because I do. But I think it's a lot more important to show them that you love them. You women know there's been a lot of slick talking men that talk it up and tell you how much they love you. You found out later they didn't really love you, did they, women? You find that out. Some of you women married to a man, you say, boy, he's just too withdrawn, and I wish he'd communicate more, and I wish he'd talk more, and I wish we'd have more meaningful conversation. Listen, if you know that man loves you, and he's going to church with you, and he's providing for you, and he's faithful to you, and he ain't stepping out, just calm down, lady, and thank God that he loved you. All right? He could be one of them slick kind telling you he loves you, and then going to work and telling that other lady he loves her.
Yeah.
I'd rather have somebody that showed me they love me than telling me all the time. Talk is cheap. But Jesus Christ, well, God the Father showed us his love by sending his only begotten son. For God so loved the world. That's a basic scripture. That he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. He showed his love. And in Romans, I think of Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God showed his love for all humanity at the cross. If you don't go by the cross, you don't get to go into eternity experiencing his love. You go into eternity experiencing his wrath. But he loved everybody that's ever been born. And he died for everybody that's ever been born. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. John Calvin was wrong.
Amen.
He had his theology messed up. Christ died for all. He shed his blood for all. And all who will come to him, he'll save. And it's out of love. And I think about two things about, and we've preached on God's love here before. God's love is a sacrificial love, and it's an unconditional love. Unconditional love, the Bible says in Romans 8:39, if you're his because of the cross, because of Calvary, that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Now, I know some people that have stopped loving you. I know some people that have stopped loving you if you don't do right. You never ever known somebody they love you and like you as long as you act like you want them, they want you to. But God's never going to stop loving you. If you're his child, no matter what you do or you don't do, even when you die. It ain't like George Jones, as he stopped loving her today. He loves you all the time. He ain't going to stop loving you, thank God. He just loves you. Boy, ain't that good? It don't matter what my performance is. I'm a child of God. He loves me. Now, he may not like me, but he loves me, thank God. But then his love is sacrificial. The Bible says over in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You want me to show you what real love is? Die for somebody. People talk about, I don't love, you know, I love you, or, you know, oh, sweetie, oh, honey. You ever read some of these stories about some of these Navy SEALs and some of these special operation people in these wars? These Navy SEALs and these, you know, Army Rangers, all they didn't go around patting each other on the back saying, I sure love you. Oh, I love you too. I love you too, Navy SEAL. They didn't do all that. But you know what many of them's done? Many of them, I've read the real accounts of it. I ain't making this up. I've read the stuff. Pitch a grenade in the room. Fella next to it jumps on it. Blows himself up to save the rest of them in there. Now, he didn't tell you he loved you. He showed you. He said, I'm going to die. I'm going to suck up this grenade in my bowels so you can walk out of here. You know what Christ did? He took the penalty we ought to took so we could walk out of there and go to heaven when we die. And he did it because he loved us. It's love. It's real love. Not this Hollywood junk. Got somebody on there dressed up like a Barbie doll, blinking her eyes, and I love you, and I love you. That crowd don't know what love is.
Amen.
Real love is Jesus Christ. Taking the grenade, taking the nails. What's that song? I'm thinking about that lyric in that song. Then I'll move on to the next point. I owed a debt I could not pay, and he paid a debt I could not. He didn't owe. That's it. I owed a debt I couldn't pay, and he paid a debt he did not owe. That's love. Well, what would you rather? Let me say this. What would you rather somebody do? Come up and pat you on the back and say, I sure love you. Or somebody come up and say, I ain't going to tell you I love you, but I'll pay your mortgage off. I don't want to hear you love me. Pay my mortgage off. Amen. You show somebody, see? You show them you love them. All right, we got to L. Now we get to V. And I think of victory.
Yeah.
Victory comes from Calvary. What was that song the choir sang? Did you hear that? Victory was won at Calvary. You better believe it was. Victory was won at Calvary. What was the victory? That was victory over death. Victory over hell. Victory over the grave. Victory over sin. I don't have victory over sin right now. I don't have victory over death right now. I've got victory over hell right now. I don't have victory over the grave, but I tell you, I'm coming out of the grave. I'm not going to hell when I die. I'm going to get a perfect body one day. I'll never sin again for eternity. That's because of a place called Calvary. The victory was won by Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:55-57, it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this morning. I know that some people here have been suffering lately. Some of you have got some bad news here lately. Some of you have been like me. You've been hurting and you're already pitiful to begin with. You don't, you know, trying to, I know, bro. We got some folks sitting in here suffering and hurting, and some of you's got some financial problems. Some of you's got some emotional problems. You got all kind of struggles. Well, can I encourage you? How many of you like some encouragement this morning? Would you? Listen to this. It may be a fact that we as God's children are going to lose some battles, but it is also a fact that the war has already been won. Christ won the victory through the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just hold on a little longer, like that old Southern gospel song, hold on a little longer, help is on the way. We have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not a defeated people. We can live for Christ. We can have faith in Christ. We can have hope in Christ. And when we die one day and lay it all down, we're finished with this old world. Hallelujah. We ought to comfort ourselves with that and comfort one another that we have the victory. We have the victory. Then I think of the next letter, that's A. I'll tell you what I think about the word accountability. You have to understand that the Lord's going to do such a great thing as go to that cross and shed His blood and put it all out on the line for a bunch of wicked folks. Then don't you think we can be flippant about it and flip our nose up at it and say, yeah, that's a good thing. Appreciate you doing it, Jesus. Word, I'll talk to you later. You're crazy. The devil's got you deceived. God loved you and he wanted to do it and he did it. And Jesus did it. But now that's why you either make a 0 or 100. There's no cotton-picking purgatory anywhere in between. You either go to the greatest place imaginable or the most horrible, horrendous place. Because God gave you His only Son, and you are accountable to receive Him. And if you don't, there ain't no place left for you to go but into an eternal flame. That's it. We're held accountable for what our Lord did on the cross. Christ died for all, but we're all held accountable for receiving or rejecting Him. Listen to this verse, Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 29. Of how much sore, listen, how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You know what that is? That's talking about a sore punishment for somebody that has trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of Jesus as nothing. And you say, well, I never said that, preacher. Yes, you did. That Bible says you're either for him or against him. If you're not for him, you're against him. You cannot walk the fence with Christ. Either you're saved or lost. Either you're going to heaven or hell. Either you love him or you don't. You're one or the other. You are accountable to what he's done. And if you die without Christ, listen. It's not just that you die without having your sins taken care of. Listen to me for a few moments. Just got a few more points and we'll move on. A lot of times what we focus on is, yeah, you know, man dies without Christ. He didn't receive Christ and so he has to pay for his sins. I understand that. But there's more to it. You need to think about this. It's not just that you die and go into eternity as an unsaved sinner and therefore you have to burn for eternity because you're lost for eternity. You have rejected the suffering and the pain and the hurt of God's only Son. So you think God's just going to sit up there and just take that and just say, well, you know, whatever. My son had to, whatever. It's much more than you just being a sinner. God sent his son to give you the cure and you didn't want it. You rejected it. You don't have nothing to do with his son. And God says, there ain't but one place for you. You treat my son like that? You treat my son like that after what he did for you? Eternal hell! Punishment forever is what you get. That's it. Then I think about the next letter, R. I think about the word resurrection. And we're going to be preaching on that more next Sunday morning, Lord willing. But no resurrection can come without death. You can't, listen, something has to die for it rises again. And you know that. And when I think about resurrection, I think about Calvary being the avenue leading to the resurrection of Christ and all the future saved. As a matter of fact, there was something interesting when Christ died on the cross and rose again. The Bible says that many of the dead saints rose up out of the grave and walked around the city of Jerusalem. You can read about that in Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53. Calvary was the beginning of the resurrection. That's why those Old Testament saints didn't even go to heaven. Everybody that died in the Old Testament under grace, having saved in the Old Testament sense, did not go to heaven. They were down in Abraham's bosom. And so when Christ died and shed his blood, and he went down there for 3 days and 3 nights, the Bible says he led captivity captive. After he shed his blood, blood's put on the mercy seat in heaven, he takes them up there. Amen. They couldn't go to heaven because they couldn't be resurrected. Listen, now Christ has died at Calvary. He shed his blood. So when I die, the Bible says, absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Anybody in here, listen, anybody in here this morning, if you die before the sun goes down, or if you die next week or next year, whenever you die, I'm telling you right now, when you draw your last breath and close your eyes here on this earth, you're going to be in the presence of God.
Amen.
Right there with him. I preached many funerals in my life, and I know it's more difficult for you to get a hold of when it's your loved one. If it's your mama or your daddy or your son or your daughter, it's much more difficult to get a hold of. I understand that. But I've seen folks in their mourning. I've seen them. Funeral director had to pull them out of the casket. A lot of people spend a lot of time at the graveyard. Listen, please don't misunderstand me. This is something to encourage and help you. If that's the way that it helps you cope, then go there every day. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. You can go to that graveyard every day. You can put flowers there. Some people, they kiss their dead loved ones over and over. I've seen it all. doing it through the years, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that at all. Please understand. But what I want you to understand is when that loved one ain't in the graveyard. That ain't them in that casket. You're kissing where they used to be. You're putting flowers where they used to be, bless God. Boy, that makes me feel good to think about it. They're up there in glory, waiting for you. It's the resurrection. You need to think about that. Hallelujah. Boy, I could stop right there. If my knee was all right, I'd shout and jump a little bit. That's good stuff. And then I think about the last letter. And you say, well, what is the last letter? Well, it's Y. And I think there's no other word fitting for Calvary than the word you.
Yeah.
You. Everybody, please look at me and try not to be distracted. We're in the short rows. We're going to close it. But I really want you to listen to me. I want to ask you a question this morning. What have you done, or what are you going to do about Calvary? Listen, Christ didn't just die for the world. He died for you. Amen. Do you understand? You have to make Calvary personal. Christ didn't just, we talk about Christ dying for the sins of the world. Absolutely, he sure did. But that, him dying for the sins of the world ain't what God's dealing with about. He dealing with me about the fact that Christ died for you, Dennis Knowles. You old wicked, vile, ungodly person. Christ died for you at Calvary. What are you, not what your mama's gonna do. Not what your daddy's gonna do. Not what your children's gonna do. Or your neighbor. Or anybody else in the church. What are you going to do for Christ? You don't get to heaven on nobody's coattail. Zechariah don't get no free pass because his daddy's a preacher. He'd say, well, my great-granddaddy preached, and my daddy preached, and my brother preached. So what? You'll go to the same hell Hitler's in right now if you die without Christ. Ain't got nothing to do with it. Well, my grandmother was a godly woman, and my mama, she taught Sunday school for 30 years, and they're in heaven right now. Yeah, and you'll never see them if you don't get saved. Listen, Calvary is for you personally. You know what you and I have to do? You know what happens when you get saved? You might be by yourself, or you might have a person to talk to, you might have a Bible, but ultimately when it gets down to it, everybody to get saved, it's you and God. You and God. You and God. You coming before a holy God saying, I'm a sinner. I'm wicked. I'm on my way to hell. I deserve it. Lord God, save me! Save me. It's you. What will you do with what happened on Calvary? You just remember this. What you personally do with Calvary will decide what God does personally with you for eternity. God's going to make his decision with where he's going to put you forever based on your decision with what you do with him. You need to remember that. In conclusion, I believe that Calvary is a place we all need to go to and need to never forget. You say, well, I've been to Calvary. I've been saved. Yeah, but I tell you what, I don't care if you've been saved 20 or 30 years or 40 or 50 years. Every once in a while, you need to sit down and read about it.
Yeah.
You need to hear a message preached about it. You need to sit down and think about it. You need to talk with some other Christians about it. You need to have a Sunday school lesson on it. Don't you ever forget where you were before Calvary. Don't you ever forget what Christ did at that place.
Amen.
It needs to be talked about and thought about all the time. Don't forget the cross and the suffering of our Savior. Don't forget that atonement made for all who receive it. Don't forget the love expressed for all mankind by the Father and the Son. Think about that victory this morning, church, over death, hell, and the grave because of Calvary. Remember, because of Calvary now, you're accountable to God for what he did. Remember, resurrection is our hope because Jesus Christ died and arose. And know this, you've got to come to that cross that was hung at Calvary, and you got to meet the Savior in order to die and go to heaven when you die. That's the place called Calvary. Whether you're lost or saved, God's spoken to your heart this morning and stirred you up. Whether you pray where you are, or you come up this altar, I pray you'll pray and be moved in some way or another. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed.